you got a Bible, and I hope you do, then turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the end of our passage on standing strong in the Lord. We're going through the spiritual armor and laying that out. We're almost to the end of it. We're going to finish up right before the first Sunday of Advent, which is November 29th. And so Advent season is a preparatory time as we look towards the incarnation of Jesus and his birth, and just look at how all the pieces of Scripture come together. So we've got some great things planned for Advent. I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to be discussing this today. In fact, this week and next, we're going to challenge ourselves to become men and women who pray. I want to just share some of the best resources that I have on prayer. When somebody asked me about prayer, these are the ones I got them to. One's called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. This book has probably changed the way that I pray more than any other. It brings incredible freedom of praying. One of the big themes is to pray as a child, and it's a great, great book. This one is called Prayer by Philip Yancey. It's just a good overall comprehensive look at prayer. It's got some phenomenal chapters on unanswered prayer and why does God allow it? How should we view it? So this one, Philip Yancey. And then this one is called Prayer. Real creative with their titles, aren't they? Timothy Keller, but another wonderful resource. So you could read hundreds of books about prayer, but how do we become prayerful men and women? We do it. That's right. We pray. We pray. That's the best thing. So don't miss the obvious application of things that we talk about this week and next. Just pray. Just do it. And don't try to get it right. Just open your mouth. Engage God with whatever affections that you have. And you'll grow and become men and women who pray. And keep praying. Well, here's the summary for this morning. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. How do we pray? Why do we pray? The reason that we pray is because we are in a spiritual battle that threatens our life. Was that your first thought when you woke up this morning? Oh man, today I'm going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. For me, it wasn't. For many days, unfortunately, that's not characteristic of my life. But if it was, then we would pray, right? If you knew you were going into battle, you would pray. That's the whole purpose of this passage. See, prayer was given to us, not just so that we could receive comforts. So often we think of prayer as calling for pizza or calling room delivery to send us another pillow to make us more comfortable in life. Prayer is a wartime exercise. It's a way that you and I recognize that we are in a spiritual battle, an eternal battle that threatens our lives, our kids' lives, our family's life, and we need God. Really, when we pray, it's an acknowledgement that we need help. God, I cannot make it through this day without you. There is too strong an enemy. Please send help. And God is quick and good to help those who pray. So let's pray and ask Him to make us people who pray. Father, I do just pray right now. How desperately I need your prayer to just open up your Scriptures in a way that all of us see clearly. What you call us to, but also how you provide everything that you call us to. And Lord Jesus, we've got to see you also, or we'll just leave either in more shame that we don't pray, or in a greater human-driven motivation to pray. We need to see that you will meet us in prayer and you'll equip us to pray. So help us as we look at this passage today. Open up the eyes of our heart that we would see wonderful things in your Scripture. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians 6, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 20. Let me ask you to stand out of reverence for God and to listen to His Word. Ephesians chapter 6, and starting in verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One simple phrase broken down in three different points. Pray at all times in the Spirit. This first point is, why should we pray? It's because we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Look at verses 10 to 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Where does the strength come from? It comes from God, right? We are in the strength of His might, in His strength that He provides. Put on the whole armor of God. Here's why we're called to pray. Here's a reminder that we're in the battle. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so often we think we're wrestling against our boss, right? Or our spouse. Or the government. Or whatever it may be. That's not the battle that we're in. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is not foolishness. The world reads that and goes, what are you talking about? There's no spiritual beings in the world. As Christians, there is. And how often I wish God could just, you know, open up my eyes so that I could see these spiritual forces around me. So, we are in a battle. They are determined to devour us, to destroy us, to draw us away from God. And so we need to develop the strength of the Lord. See, this whole passage is about putting on the armor. And you see how the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tied it all together. So we put on this entire armor, but what brings power to the armor is prayer. You know, prayer isn't the seventh piece of the armor. It's what brings power, what ties the armor together. We all know about David and Goliath, the story that everybody knows, every kid knows. Remember what King Saul said? Hey, David, listen, this guy's pretty big, so why don't you take my armor and put it on? David says, no. I want to trust God. God's going to provide the power, the accuracy. God's going to be the one that's going to defeat Goliath. So even if we have this incredible armor, we put it on, but there's no prayer. It's like standing against Satan in Saul's armor. There's nothing powerful about Saul's armor. What enables us to stand strong against Satan and his forces is prayer. So we're in a battle. Here's the second point. We're in a battle where our strength is not enough. Our strength is not enough. I'll tell you what jumped out to me as I read this passage. I mean, who wrote the book of Ephesians? The Apostle Paul, right? What do we know about the Apostle Paul after he became a follower of Christ? What did he do? He planted churches. He engaged Roman government officials. He debated the sharpest minds of the day. He underwent torture. This guy was the first guy chosen for the kickball team. And this is the guy who had it all together. He had a sharp mind. He had a heart for God. He was willing to sacrifice himself, do everything. But then what do we see about him in verse 19? He says, pray for me that I would have words to say and the boldness to say it. If anybody did not need prayer, it was Paul. But Paul knew he needed prayer. I have a mentor that I talked to on the phone about once a month. And he always asked me, do you ask your church to pray for you? And I say, no. Because really what's going on in my mind is like, okay, let's say almost every week I come and say, Christ Community Church, please pray for me as your pastor. Eventually they're all going to get together and go, why do we have such a weak pastor? Let's see if we can replace this guy. Every week I should be asking you to pray for me. I'm not wise enough to lead this church. I'm not godly enough to live out what I'm asking you to live out. I struggle with my spouse. I struggle with my kids. I'm struggling now to believe in God. And so forgive me for not asking you to pray. Please pray for me. Pray for David. Pray for the leaders of this church. We need prayer. We're not strong enough to lead. And so we've got to pray. Well, let me just poke around in your own life. It's not about me. Let's poke around in your life. Do you have enough patience in dealing with your kids? Is it easy to deny yourself when you and your spouse are trying to decide something? Do you find it easy to hold your tongue? Control your anger? We all need prayer because it provides the strength, the sufficiency that we can't create ourselves. So that's why we pray. I came across this quote by Abraham Lincoln I thought was great. I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. What drove President Lincoln to pray? I don't have what it takes to make it through the day. So God, help me. Help me. That is the posture in prayer that God listens to and God meets those who pray. So we're driven to pray at all times because we're in a battle. The second point, pray at all times in the Spirit. So this directs, why should we keep praying? Look at verse 18 together, and I'm going to ask you to see if you notice anything significant about verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Did I give it away? All is mentioned four times in this verse. He's saying it's comprehensive. It's to be at all times and in all ways and all circumstances. We are to pray in the Spirit. Two applications that I thought from this. Pray in every situation and every day. And second, keep praying. Perseverance. First of all, pray in every situation. There's a clear exhortation in Scripture. Jesus says, always we are to pray and never lose heart. This simply means living your life in the presence of God, praying numerous times throughout the day. You don't have to get on your knees in your office and fold your hands and look up at the heaven. It's a posture, it's an attitude, it's a lifestyle of praying. If something good happens at work, you immediately say, God, thank you for that happening. You see a friend who has a need. God, meet the need of that individual right now. You feel temptation. God, deliver me. Rescue me. You see somebody who doesn't know Jesus. God, grant them eyes to see Jesus. Numerous times throughout the day. When I worked at Oak Mountain, there was a gentleman who cleaned the buildings at nighttime. And sometimes I'd go up there for a late meeting or just have to go up there and get something. And I'd see him cleaning the halls. And he'd always be mumbling. He'd always be talking to himself. And finally, I asked him. I said, so who are you talking to? He's like, oh, I'm just talking to Jesus. And it was such a lifestyle that he had of throughout the day and at all times and in every situation. A May God create that same within us. Pray in every situation. I guarantee if you do it, it becomes addictive. Just do it throughout the day. Look for opportunities to pray. But second, here's what I really want to emphasize. Pray with perseverance. Keep praying with perseverance. The Greek word for perseverance here refers to repeated military assaults. So that same word is used of a military who attacks an enemy. And then they withdraw, regroup, and they attack again. Withdraw, regroup, attack again until they achieve victory. That's what this word of persevering prayer, that's what it emphasizes. That we keep going on, we keep praying. We attack God with our requests, with our desires. Here are some verses talking about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Jesus gave us a parable in Luke chapter 11 talking about prayer. Disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. And then right after the Lord's Prayer, this parable is given so that we would understand the nature of persevering prayer. So read along with me, Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10. He said to them, which of you has a friend and will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. He will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So what is it that caused the neighbor to get up out of bed and provide? The persistence, right? The keep knocking, the keep going to the door. That word impudence talks about making persistent, pressing requests. To be shamelessly presumptuous. Be like me going up to Andy and Renee, hey, where are you taking me for lunch today? Hey, where are you taking me for lunch? No, seriously, where are you taking us for lunch today? You know, is that consistent? That this is what Jesus and God are saying. Do this in prayer. It's okay. Keep asking. Do any of you parents with small kids, you have any kids who act like that? Can I have water? Can I have ice cream? Can I go outside and play? Can I have this? Can I have this? No! Yes! Okay, get out of here. God welcomes that spirit of prayer. And so often I think, I know, see, I love being Presbyterian. I think we got it right in our theology. But our theology backfires on us many times. And I think in one of this area, it does. And what I mean by that is so often we think God is sovereign. God's determinative will is in place and it's going to happen no matter what I do. God's will be done. And that just suffocates any desire to pray. Does it not? Oh, why should I pray for this? God's will is going to be done anyway. Or even with the same with this persistent, presumptuous prayer attitude that I'm talking about, it feels strange for us to go to God like a kid and say, God, help me, provide this, do this. Because we feel like we've got to refine our prayers. Oh, Lord, I beseech you. Stop it. Just pray. God will work it out as you pray. God will refine your desires. Come persistently. God invites that. In fact, what it communicates to God is you see your need and that He's a good God and only He can provide what you need. So keep persistently praying all the time. George Mueller, who was known for his prayer life, he prayed for the salvation of 2 of his close friends for over 60 years. One of them, a few months before Mueller died, gave his life to Christ. And the other one, in the next year after Mueller's death, gave his life to Christ. 60 years he prayed for him. I know that impacts some of you guys, for you have unbelieving parents or grandparents, and you just keep praying. Now I want to say, keep praying. Don't give up. If you're praying for kids that have certain issues, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying until there's an answer. There's your principle to live by. Keep praying until God gives an answer. The scripture is full of examples of people who prayed and prayed. Abraham, Jacob wrestled with God, and God blessed him for wrestling. 10 lepers. Big crowd around Jesus. These lepers were put off to the side, and they were trying to yell, "Hey, Jesus, over here! Jesus, have mercy on us! Jesus, have mercy on us! Jesus, have mercy!" And Jesus healed them. There was a Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, and she was crying out, "Jesus, help! Help my daughter who's demon possessed!" In fact, the disciples said, "Jesus, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And Jesus heard her cries, and Jesus healed her daughter. So keep praying. Keep asking God. God likes to be asked. And we as parents, we don't like when our kids are persistently asked. But God does. God likes to be wrestled with. God likes to be engaged in prayer. Often in Scripture do you see, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Why are you hiding your face from me? Why don't you come and deliver me?" Again, we want that. That feels ungodly. Those prayers, let's put them to the side. No, we're human. God sees us in our humanness. And I guarantee you, you've experienced this, in the middle of coming to God in your blah, of just where you are in prayer, God meets you and your desires begin changing, right? Your trust in Him. Doesn't mean that you walk away all better, but we change in prayer when we pray. But praying to God as we are, not as what we should be. I've just given you the silver bullet to enjoyment in prayer and passion to prayer. Come as you are and let God work it all out. Ian Bounds wrote 8 books on prayer, so he probably knows a little bit about it. But he said, "Prayer in its highest form and greatest success assumes the attitude of a wrestler with God." Isn't that great? Here's a guy who says everything about prayer, this is what I believe to be true. Prayer in its purest form is somebody who's wrestling with God, who's persistent, engaging, continually praying. So this is what I want to spur every one of you on today. Keep praying, whatever you're praying for. Don't give up. I know you're discouraged because you're not seeing an answer. You're not seeing any change. Keep praying. Keep praying persistently. Knock on the door. "God, give me bread. God, give me bread. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal my daughter." Keep praying. So will you pray at all times? Here's the third one. Pray at all times in the Spirit. So how do we pray in the Spirit? That's an unusual phrase. But let me start explaining what that means, what it doesn't mean. It's not referring to tongues. It's not referring into this special prayer language. Because we look at the context of what it talked about in Ephesians 6. It says, pray at all times and in all ways. So praying in the Spirit is to be done by all Christians, not just an excluded few who displayed the prayer language of tongues, but all of us. So here's what it means to pray in the Spirit. 2 things. One of all, the first one is just to guide us, is to use Scripture. Verse 17 says, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That is, those two verses are together for a reason. The Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. So we pray using Scripture. Do you use the words from the Bible when you pray? It's okay if you don't. We're not mandated to do it, but it helps tremendously pray rightly when we use the Scripture to pray. I think about just two individuals, you're comparing them, and one is just praying whatever he's feeling or thinking. Again, that's not bad. But then one who's using the Lord's Prayer, straight from the Bible. This one over here may be a hot mess of just thinking and whatever. But the one who's using the Lord's Prayer eventually will be very God-directed in his prayer, right? God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. Give me our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And so using Scripture is so helpful. Scripture is where we get faith. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God so that we'll have faith in our prayers. Another benefit is it gives us an accurate picture of God and of ourselves. Next week's going to be great on prayer because I'm going to give a very helpful practices of prayer. How to begin a prayer life that will be rich and thriving and all of that. So we're going to talk a lot about that. But one of the things I'm going to talk about next week is Martin Luther. He wrote a book called, Simple Way to Pray. And because his barber, I love the humanity of this example, the guy who cut Martin Luther's hair, and all I've seen, he's kind of bald with just a little patch back here. So maybe just the guy who cut the patch said, hey, Martin, can you help me to pray? I'm kind of struggling with it. And so Martin Luther wrote this letter, this treatise of, okay, Mr. Barber, here's how you pray. And we still got that today, and we read through it. It's a phenomenal resource, and just helpful. But one of the things he says in there is, to pray correctly, you need to warm your heart with meditation on Scripture. So the way to pray correctly is to read God's Word. Let your heart become warm. In fact, Tim Keller in his book, that's one of his key things is, so often, those of us who understand quiet times, we have our quiet time. This is what this happened and yada, yada, yada. And then we immediately go over here to praying through our prayer lists. But there's a gap in between. This is what Keller talks about. It's meditation. It's taking Scripture that we just read and, parents don't exasperate your kids. And then pray about that. And let that warm our hearts. And then it leads to praying whatever we want to pray about or whatever we pray through regularly. So Scripture is so important, praying in the Spirit. Here's the example of what it means to follow the leading of the Spirit. Here's what this phrase means, praying in the Spirit. It means praying in the power of the Spirit through the leading of the Spirit. Praying in the power of the Spirit through the leading of the Spirit. That's what it means, praying in the Spirit. If you're praying and your energies are engaged, your affections are strong, that's the Spirit. That's when you know that you're praying in the Spirit. When your prayers are full of faith, you're praying in the Spirit. When you're more concerned with God's glory than your own, you're praying in the Spirit. When you pray resting in God as your Abba Father, you know the Spirit has shown up. Because that's one of the roles of the Spirit, right? To testify to us that we are children of God. That's what the Spirit does. And when you're too tired or mad to pray, the Spirit prays for you. Jesus intercedes for us. Oh, that is such a beautiful picture when you think about it. Holy Spirit, it talks about in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I love that. It's like you having a toddler and, Lord, help my stuffed animal to come to Jesus. Help me to have spaghetti for breakfast. But you as a parent are right next to the bed. Again, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. But you as a parent says, Lord, I prayed that my child would have a heart for the loss. I pray for daily bread, for food. Thank you for daily bread. It's like we come behind whatever the prayer is. That's what the Spirit does. And when we pray, we don't know what to pray. We pray wildly. The Holy Spirit says, God, here's what they're trying to say. Here's what's best for them. I love that. There's such freedom in that. Again, Martin Luther in his teaching on prayer said, keep a lookout for the Holy Spirit. When you're praying, look out for the Holy Spirit. And if he shows up, take it, Holy Spirit. Do what you want. Listen to whatever he's got to say. Because what he's got to say is more important than what you got to say. That's what Martin Luther said. So here's the review of the entire teaching here. Pray at all times because we're in a battle. Pray at all times by keep praying, persevering in prayer. Pray by asking for the power of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. And I already said next week we're going to talk about more practices of prayer. But some of you may not be back next week, so I didn't want to leave you with any specific application. Let me just give you some really simple applications. One, in praying, just set aside a set time each day. And along with that, pray many times throughout the day. We won't become men and women who pray unless we begin praying. Is there anything more difficult in the Christian life than to pray or to read God's Word? You know what? Satan and his forces, they know this. So they are going to distract you every moment that you sit down to pray. Your stomach's going to growl. A kid's going to burst into the room. But just take a moment every day to pray, and pray numerous times throughout the day. The second one, combine reading the Bible and turn it into prayer. So this is kind of what I was talking about. As you read the Bible, rather than transitioning, compartmentalized, going straight to prayer, begin praying about what you read in the Bible. And here's another tool that I learned from Paul Miller. He says, when your mind gets distracted in prayer, just start praying about whatever it's distracted about. And that'll get you back on track. You know, so often in prayer, we're like, oh man, I got to mail that check. You know, and all of a sudden, we're mailing checks rather than getting away from prayer. It's okay just to have a little note and just go, mail check. Or God, provide the money that we need to mail the check. Or you begin thinking about whatever, the weather. Start praying about it. Pray about it, then get back on track. So, begin praying every day. The second one, take whatever you're reading in the Bible, start praying about it. And the third one is praying concentric circles and make each circle the glory of God as its aim. This is what I mean by that. This is how I pray. Lord, help Phil. I start with me. How self-centered is that? God, I need your help today. God, meet me. God, this is what's going on today. Help me. Then I pray for those nearest to me. My wife, Jennifer. Then I pray for my kids. Then I pray for you guys, the church. Then I pray for the city, the state, the leaders of the land, the needed nations in the world. You can start with the needy nations of the world and come back. Doesn't really matter. The form isn't important. I'm just saying this is how I do it. I start with me and I work my way out. And that keeps me on task. That keeps me praying. So what did you hear today? What did God say to you today about prayer? I hope you're inspired to pray. I hope not at all that you're ashamed or guilty. I hope you're saying, shut up. I want to go pray. I want to begin today. I want to pick up something that I've given up praying for because I've lost heart. And I want to start praying for it again. To be inspired in that prayer. Lord, help us in that. Father, I do pray right now that you would help us to be men and women who pray. We are so easily distracted, and that's okay. You're not frustrated with that about us. You just want us to talk to you. You want a relationship. And so, as we leave here today, and as we begin our life, Lord, we ask you to make us into dependent children who ask their wise and good Father numerous times to help us, to be with us, to protect us, provide for us. God, draw us away into prayer. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.